I'm Devlin Bishop, and welcome to my first ever podcast. This is something I've always wanted to do, and, well, that's what you're supposed to do. If you want to be a creative person, you get these ideas, you get these dreams, and eventually you just go for it. And that's what I'm attempting here today. Honestly, I've been at a crossroads in my life, and I've heard about podcasting, and, well, I listened to a couple of podcast shows, but never thought I could ever do it, and then I realized, you know, why not? Why can't I do it? Maybe this is exactly what I need right now. So I'm going to give this a chance. I'm going to try to do a show a week, and we'll see how it goes. And so you're probably thinking, well, why are you so special? Why do you get a podcast? Well, I don't know. I can't answer that. I'm not all that special. I have my moments. But the truth of the matter is I have a microphone and I'm doing it. I basically get these ideas. And I have this wonderful friend named Corda that I just come up with an idea and I just blurt something out like, I'd really like to try podcasting. And the next thing I know, she's doing research on it and she's got me a really nice microphone for my birthday. And so, you know, she's really great support with that. And so I decided, why not? Let's give it a try, see what happens. For those of you who don't know me, or know me and want to know more about me, here's a little synopsis. I'm 47 right now. As you can see, I'm also letting this go. I don't want it to be edited. I don't want it to be polished. I want all the flaws and everything in there. If you ever do hear something that sounds like an edit or something, that means it was either really bad or I probably knocked over the microphone, which I'm expecting to do quite often. I'm 47, and I'm just at a crossroads in my life, and I need something new, something different, and I think this is it. I work at Target in Canada. Now, for anybody who has seen anything on the news, you know that means absolutely nothing, because very shortly I am going to be unemployed. So I am going to be an unemployed podcaster very soon. And if that doesn't fit a stereotype, I don't know what it is. But you know what? The thing I love about podcasting is everyone can do it. And it looks like people are. You know, you can do podcasting about, you know, just about anything. You know, gardening, movies, everything. So this is my little piece of the internet. And I do appreciate you for coming. Other things you should know about me, I'm gay. That's just one word to describe me. I don't throw it in people's faces and stuff. I'm in a relationship with a wonderful man named Mike, and he might listen to this, but you never know. He might not. He might be a little afraid to listen to it because I told him already I'm going to be very candid in this. I'm going to be very open, and whatever hits me, hits me. And I think people like me that way, and so that's why I'm going to be that way. But anyhow, it's been a wonderful relationship. We've been together for 15 years. We live together now, and, you know, it's no big deal that I'm gay. It's just a small part of who I am. I am a little flamboyant, but at the same time, I'm not. It's hard to explain. I'll paint my nails, but at the same time, I don't just, you know, greet everybody like, hey, it's fabulous. You know, I'm not that over the top. I've met many really good friends who said, I didn't know you were gay until we got talking. And that's a cool thing. If they know automatically, that's okay too. Doesn't bother me. Mike and I like to think we're very different gay men, but just because of all the, we don't have a lot of gay friend couples on the ones we do. We think we're a little different than them, and we're not saying we're better, not in any way. We're just different. So I'd like to think there's a lot more of us like that, and we're just, you know, very quiet type. I've honestly never been the quiet type. I've always been a bit of a showman, so when I said I wanted to podcast to him, he was kind of very supportive as always, but it didn't shock him in any way. He knows that's pretty much who I am. Besides work and my relationship, my other big thing is that I do improv comedy at a wonderful place called The Staircase. And if this podcast goes long, like as in I get to do a lot of shows, You'll hear a lot about The Staircase because it was a big influence on me. Not only did it lead me to my improv path, but it opened me up creatively in a lot of ways. And more importantly, I met so many wonderful people through there. You know, just people from all walks of life and people who do improv, but I've also met musicians and filmmakers and poets and artists of all sorts. You know, I look at my Facebook page and it's just unreal the amount of people that I've connected with through The Staircase. So it's a very important place, and I still am there quite a lot. I perform. I performed in several shows that The Staircase put on. When I started there, I was very nervous and shy, and I even almost turned away. And I'm so glad I didn't, because I loved improv from the first time I actually did it. And I knew I was coming back. But what I didn't know is that it would lead me on a path that would lead me to lots of different shows and eventually to even teach. And that's where my passion is right now. I love to teach. I teach the beginners, improv boot camp, we call it. And I also have started teaching the advanced, which I find really challenging because I like to find a lot of new improv games and exercises that maybe they haven't done before, or ones they've done a million times, but I try to tweak them and find new twists. I guess I speak like any teacher, that one of the greatest things is watching people grow and knowing you had a part of that. Many people have come up to me and told me just how much they enjoy my teaching. And yeah, they could be saying it just because, but I think I see a real sincerity. I've been blessed with the abilities to be able to read people really well. And don't get me wrong, I have been wrong about some people in a good way, and unfortunately a bad way too. But I'm a really sensitive person, and I can really learn a lot about people in very short times just talking with them, and I can find things, and I usually can tell if, you know, that person is going to be, you know, somebody I would get along with. And then sometimes I can meet people and, you know, not even realize the impact they'll have in my life. So I still do improv. I don't do a lot of the shows anymore. I do a couple. I have produced some of my own shows. I've done the Devlin Show. I've done Devlin Monologues, and I've done Devlin's Improv Party. As you can see, I don't do many shows that my name's not in it anymore. And even this one will have Devlin's name in the podcast. I don't have a name for it yet, but I'm hoping when I put it up I'll have one, which is kind of silly to talk about now due to the fact that it's nameless now, but it will be up. Let's move on from that, because I'm getting a headache thinking of that. It's kind of like a Back to the Future thing, you know. If we do it now, we do it then, but forget about it. The reason I'm podcasting, as I said, I've come to a crossroads in my life. I still enjoy the teaching, and I'd love to fall back in love with improv, but it hasn't happened. So I remember I was at a crossroads when I found improv, and here it is probably almost 13, 14 years later, and I'm at another thing. I don't know if podcasting will be the creative outlet, but I think it might be one of the many. Anybody who knows me knows I love to talk. I'm really shy, actually. But once I get to know you, forget it. I'll talk your ear off. And now that's what I'm doing here. And thank you if you're listening. I'll personally thank you, because I honestly don't know how many people will actually sit and listen to this. And I'm okay with that. Because, you know, I don't mind. I've never wanted to be a big, big celebrity or anything. I kind of like that I've got a bit of a cult following in Hamilton. I forgot to mention, I am from Hamilton, Ontario. Technically, I'm Stony Creek, but I'm really kind of right on the edge of it both. And if you ask me, I'll say Hamilton, just because I love this city so much. Not that I don't like Stony Creek either. As you can see, I'm all over the place when I do these. And that's what I kind of want it to be. I want it to be, you know, us just hanging out together and me chatting. And anybody who knows me, I'm very sensitive, and I think that's going to come out too, because, you know, to think I'm going to do a show that's not going to be emotionally charged at times, or me ranting or raving about something, or me not getting emotional, would be a lie, because that's my everyday life. I always call it a blessing and a curse that I'm so sensitive. I like to call it passionate, actually. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't want it anyway. My heart gets broken rather easily, but at the end of my life, I want to feel the whole... I want to feel the whole package. I want to hurt. I want to laugh. I want to... Because everything I do is with intensity. Anyone who knows me, and hopefully we get a chance to know each other, I laugh. I laugh hard. I cry hard. I feel hard. And that doesn't sound horrible. I wish I felt harder. Sorry, I'm talking in a more of a muscle kind of thing, and it just didn't work. As I said, I'm an improv comedy. If you're looking for a stand-up comic that can constantly make you laugh, then this is not the podcast for you. I do think I'm a funny man. I will try to let that show as much as I can, but it might not come across sometimes. But I will try my best. My goals? I don't have any goals. To be honest with you, if only one person listens to this, and that'd be fine with me. I'm not out to, like, break records on YouTube or wherever I'm going to post this. I'm not out for that. I just kind of, this is almost like a diary for me. I'm just going to talk about things that are on my mind. And it's not all going to be, oh, woe is me type stuff. Because right now, I'll be honest with you, losing my job has been a real roller coaster ride. I've been unemployed before, but the situation I was at Target, and I won't go into it too much, but there's so many things about it. There's so much hurt involved in it, and losing some people that I really, really enjoyed working with, and I haven't lost them. They will stay with me, but the fact that I won't see them on a regular basis, it just kills me inside. So, to be honest with you, this is probably like absolutely one of the worst times in my life. When I was younger, I used to go through dark times, like really, really dark, like suicidal, everybody hates me kind of dark. And I hid it very well. In fact, many people were shocked that I actually went through this, because some people think I'm a really happy-go-lucky guy, but I can go really dark, and I think that's why I'm really good at comedy, because I think I heard somebody say something that comedians seem to do dramatic roles so well, because they do deal with that darkness. And most of the comedians that I've met, and most of the ones I've idolized, like Robin Williams and Jim Carrey, they seem to have a darkness around them. Not all, but a majority of them, and I think they get that. And I think they kind of use that to hide from it. So I basically haven't felt feelings that I have since I was in my 20s. So we're talking decades. So I have actually hit rock bottom emotionally. The fact that I haven't had a nervous breakdown is amazing to me. I have really awesome days, and then I have just absolutely horrible days. And the fact that I've held it together so far is good. So this is like absolutely the worst time to probably start a podcast, because I could have a meltdown, I could have a breakdown, you know, and since I said I'm going to just run this in segments, as I said, I'm aiming for about an hour on these, and I'm going to break it up into 20-minute segments. I don't know if this is a great time for it. But you know what? It's also therapeutic. I get to talk like this, and I'm trying to, you know, find that voice where I'm talking. And, like, I want to talk like I'm having a conversation, that you're sitting right across from me, and that I'm looking into your eyes, and I'm talking to you personally. I'm not trying to talk to the masses. So if I only get one person listening to me, that to me would be phenomenal. And please, just if you're a friend, you don't have to say, you know, I'm going to listen to everyone. If you truly find these entertaining, then by all means, listen. But you don't have to. I'm not going to love you any less if I find out you haven't listened to my podcast. Because to be honest with you, I don't even want to introduce that I'm doing a podcast to the fact that I feel it's almost like, oh, you know, you're one of those guys, you know. I don't know. I don't want to say there's a stigma to it, because I know podcasting right now is going through a real renaissance. I'll get it out one way or another. But the truth of the matter, the truth of the matter is that, you know, I don't know. I still, for me, think it as a stigma. Like, I'm podcasting now, and you know, and people are like smiling at you, but inside they're groaning, saying, "I've been trying to be a lot." You know, they're saying, you know, "Oh my God, are you doing that?" I'm doing trying to be a lot optimistic to that, but you know, I can't exactly be a hypocrite. You know, I've definitely heard people, "Oh, I'm going to try to do a podcast," and I thought to myself, "Really? Like, what do you got to say?" And so irony here leads me to a podcast. So please, you don't have to listen to this if this is not your cup of tea. But you know what? If you like just hanging out with me for an hour, please, please do. Goals, I was saying, as I said, I hope to get at least one listener. And Corda, who set me up on my journey here, she's not going to count as the one person. So let's see if we can get one more person. Because Corda will listen to anything. You know, I could be gargling right now for 40 minutes and she would tell me it was the most wonderful thing. She's honest with me, don't get me wrong, but she is my yes woman, and I need a yes woman. Because somebody as fragile as me needs at least one yes woman in their life, you know. But what this show is not just going to be me rambling on for an hour, although I know you are enjoying it immensely right now. I plan to talk about lots of subjects. I'm big on nostalgia, so don't be surprised if there's a lot of movie talk, television shows, music, general things. But I'm not also gonna. I'm gonna not steer away from personal things too. If I feel the need to talk about something that happened or something that happened in my past, or just talk about feelings in general, I'm going to do it. Because, as I said, I want this to be my show, and it's my therapy. I also don't plan to always do this by myself. In fact, I'd like to try to get a guest every couple of weeks just to freshen it up. And I'm also going to be very candid. As I said, for those of you who know me, I tend to have a bit of a dirty mind, so I am going to not censor myself. So be warned, if you've got small children listening to this, I might swear every once in a while. The fact that I haven't in the last 20 minutes. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not just going to drop F-bombs for the sake of dropping F-bombs. But if, you know, a little shit pops out every once in a while, I'm going to let it go through. And that goes for any guests that I have. But I'm looking forward to doing shows where I have some guests, and that they can just come in and talk about things, and we'll see where it goes. I love this because right now I have no clue where this is going to lead, and I might get bored of this in like 3 episodes, 4, but I'm hoping that I don't get bored of this for a long, long time, because I like to talk, and I think I find a forum. And so that's exactly what I am about, and you'll get to know me more if you stick around and listen, and if you don't, that's fine too, because it's all good. It's all good. But I'm finished talking about myself right now, and I'm going to get ready to talk about one of my favorite TV shows. So please stand by, and we have a bit of a musical break. Of course, this is a pirate podcast, so none of the music is licensed here, so please don't be too offended. We're only going to be playing snippets in between breaks and stuff, so power to all the composers that I'm using, but we're not going to try to use too much, because this is a talk radio show. We just need some filler every once in a while I get to drink, or I'm going to just be like... Anyhow, we'll talk about one of my favorite TV shows when I come back. There you have Neil Hefti and, of course, the Batman theme from the 1966 ABC TV series that ran for 3 years. And it's one of my all-time favorite shows, and I just can't wait to talk about this because, you know, it's a good time to be a Batman 66 fan for lots of different reasons. The biggest reason, of course, is last October they finally did it. Something we were told would never happen, kind of like the holy grail of Blu-rays and DVDs, and that was that Batman was finally going to come out. This has been one of the most asked for TV series collections to come out in a long time, and it didn't look like it was ever going to happen, but guess what? It did, and it is just an absolute... It was worth the wait. It's an absolute beautiful collection. It's the only TV series... I own a lot of TV series. This is the only one I actually paid more for on Blu-ray, and I got the big collector's edition, because it's just so awesome. And not only did they give us this show, but they could have just gave us crappy versions of this show. But they didn't. They remastered everything. Everything looks beautiful. The colors are punchy. They're the original length of the actual when they first aired. They're not the syndicated cut 20-minute versions. They go till about 23, 24 minutes. And they just look absolutely phenomenal. And I am so glad I invested in this. I didn't even wait. I got it the first day, and it actually... It sits on the shelf with my other DVDs, but this thing is like, it just sits there like a monument, because it's just a beautiful big box, and if you press the side, it actually plays that Neil Hefti track, and it's just beautiful. When I had it in my hands, I literally teared up, a grown man, crying, because I never thought we'd see this day. For those of you youngins listening and don't know what I'm talking about, Batman 66 was a TV series that starred Adam West and Burt Ward as Batman and Robin, and of course, it was very campy, it was very colorful, over the top. It became a huge success in its first year, and it spinned off a movie that they released in theaters that was also used to promote it in foreign markets. And it ran for 3 years, and it's just an amazing show. Now, the first season, it was big, and by the second season, all these big celebrities wanted to do it. Because, you know, they had their core cast of villains, which was the Joker, played by Cesar Romero, the Penguin, played by Burgess Meredith, the Riddler, played by Frank Gorshin, and Catwoman, that was played by Julianne Moore. And they would regularly come back and forth, and then they'd have other celebrities. By season two, the show was so big that other celebrities just wanted to be on it anyway. And so by season two, we started getting some stranger villains only because everybody wanted to be in it. But the show had some incredible people, everybody from... Vincent Price to Liberace. You know, it was just amazing the amount of people who wanted in, and maybe they shouldn't have let all of them in. Some of the characters by season two were getting a little out there. By season three, the show was starting to lose ratings by season two, and so they revamped it. Batman was one of the rare shows. I think there was this and Peyton Place that actually aired twice a week. Now, this is before my time. I was not born. I'm old, but I'm not 66. I'm Devlin 68, so I was a little baby when this the final season aired. But I caught it in repeats and stuff. But it used to air twice a week, and it would air one night, and then the cliffhanger ending, and then you tune in the next night and find out, you know, will Batman and Robin escape? And they always did. But you just never knew how. And sometimes it was really over the top, as everything on the show was. The reason I like the show is, when I was a kid, I fell for this show hook, line, and sinker. Like, quite honestly, I bought into it. I probably would have watched it in the late 70s, early 80s. So I was just a little kid, and this is my first exposure to Batman. Now, a lot of diehard fans actually... I think the real diehards actually like Batman 66. But there were some Batman fans that hated it because the comic was dark. And then this kind of came in with a parody. It was a spoof. It was everything. But the truth of the matter is, by the 60s, DC had already turned Batman into a bit of a lightweight. You know, there was all these different incarnations of him, and they were getting campy in the comic, and they had, you know, Batmite showing up, and all these weird, you know, Batgirl showed up, and she lightened the mood, but they were fighting all these... So it already had gone campy and silly, so I always thought it was weird that the show would get so much hit for destroying the Batman legacy. But I've always heard that the comics already had taken that kind of turn. When I was a kid, as I said, I ate it up. I was young, and I thought it was really real. You know, I knew it was funny, but... It wasn't until I got older that I really appreciated the camp of it all. And I think the thing that I love most about it is when you watch it now, you can see that everybody's in on the joke, but they play it so dead serious. In later seasons, it actually, you can tell the characters mostly play it up. The villains are playing it up, everybody. But what I like is that Adam West and Burt Ward always seem to play it really straight. They're just awesome about, you know, talking about, like, you know, in the middle of all this craziness, they'll be talking about, you know, seatbelt safety and, you know, proper nutrition and stuff. And that's one thing I love about it, that it's really absolutely crazy, but they stick with it. It's true to itself. There's so much that I enjoy, like when I think of episodes. There's ridiculous stories. My absolute favorite episode, in a lot of them, featured the Joker. And the Joker in itself was kind of funny because, you know, we grew up in a time later with Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger that gave two awesome performances, two very different takes. But Cesar Romero did his own thing, too. And I think the craziest thing Cesar Romero did was that, and as a kid, I never even noticed this, but when I heard about it in a documentary, I can't stop looking at it. But Cesar Romero was a Latin lover, and he was a Latin screen star, and he did not want to shave his mustache. So he actually just painted over his mustache, and it's blatantly there. I don't know how as a kid, but as a kid, I'm just looking at the colors and Batman and Robin. And as much as, you know, my favorite character is probably Catwoman, I find that a lot of my favorite episodes are with the Joker, just because of the sheer camp of it all. Like, my favorite episode is actually one where Joker puts these vending machines into schools, and it gives them money, or little coins or something. But you find out later that the reason he's doing this is to bet money against a high school basketball team. And yes, that is head-scratchingly strange, but in some ways, I think that shows maybe he's more insane in some ways than Nicholas or Ledger's Joker, just because this was very important to him. But I like it because it gives Burt Ward a chance to really stretch his legs, because he plays the really, you know, aw shucks, you know, holy grail, Batman! I don't think he ever said the holy grail. That would be too religious from him, but... But he gets a chance to go undercover and prove that, you know, Dick Grayson is a bit of a badass. And, you know, he comes in a leather jacket to try to infiltrate Joker's teenage henchmen, which I love that Joker also decides, you know, let's get some bad teenagers to work with. Probably not a great idea, but Burt Ward comes in and just knocks it out of the park. being the most wholesome badass to try to infiltrate in this group, and it's a lot of fun. And I think he's got like a line, something like, you know, why do you have to do crime? You know, you're Dick Grayson, you're the youthful ward of Bruce Wayne. And he says something to the likes of, you know, what, that skinflint? I have to steal dimes from the butler just to get cigarette money. And it's just camp like that that I just absolutely adore. And another favorite, you know, episode of mine is the Joker wants to become king of the surf. And why? I do not know. But who's going to complain when you see Adam West and Cesar Romero and their characters basically sharing a room to dress in their surfboard baggies to come out to have a surf competition? This is definitely season 3 when the show got even more, they just reveled in the camp. But I love that the Joker, this is as villainous as he gets. I want to be the king of the surf. He's not exactly a mastermind either, because in another episode, the Joker, again, I just love the Joker's episodes. You know, he has an episode where he actually kidnaps all the big millionaires because the brilliant Joker comes up with the idea. Batman has to be a millionaire because of all the toys with the Batmobile and the Batplane and the Batcycle. So he has to be a millionaire. So he's going to reveal on network TV and try to figure out which of the millionaires in Gotham is Batman. All of the millionaires are there tied up, and only one has a youthful ward. And Joker still can't figure out which one it is. You know, a lot of people nowadays, you know, they all look for the darkness in superhero things, but I think it's actually refreshing that Batman 66 is the way it is, because it's a lot of fun to watch, and I think that's what's missing. I love a lot of the superhero movies and stuff and TV shows, and I love what they've done with it, the darker tones and stuff. But I still like to be entertained, and, you know, I miss sometimes that when they go too dark, they miss that comedic element. And I think you can have dark stuff with comedic elements. And what a great cast on this show. You know, as I said, my favorite character is probably Catwoman. I think her outfit is iconic, and my favorite incarnation of her is Julie Newmar, but two other women played Catwoman in the Batman series. Well, technically two. They did do the Batman spin-off movie, another very funny property that isn't included in this box set, but it's always been available. For some reason, they've never had copyright problems. And that was played by Lee Merriweather, who was a former Miss America, I believe. I could be wrong on that. And basically, she had to take the role because Julie Newmar was unavailable. And then in season 3, Julia Newmar was like, Catwoman had just put her on the map. And so she was doing all these projects, and she wasn't available to do season 3, and they actually put a neat spin by casting Eartha Kitt as Catwoman. And although I personally am a fan of Julia Newmar, you can't deny that Eartha Kitt had that wonderful purr, that Batman, you know, horrible impersonation, but you know what I mean. And also, I thought it was daring that there's no rhyme or reason, but suddenly there's a black woman playing Catwoman. And I think that's a bold choice, because they don't try to explain it. And what I also like is that she blatantly flirts with Batman. And this was one of the first main female characters in a reoccurring show. And it never gets enough credit for that. But anyhow, the DVDs and Blu-rays are out. And if you are a fan, they are coming out with cheaper versions now, but if you're a fan, I'd say, you know, save up your pennies, buy it. Of course, if you're a super fan like me, you probably already have it and have it on display in your home like I do. Mike thought I was actually going to, you know, buy some effective lighting and just kind of point it to it like it's my object of delight, like my Mona Lisa that I display. But I think it's well worth the money, and they have lots of special features on it as well. If you get the big commemorative Blu-ray box set, of course, you'll get everything from a little toy Batmobile. There is an episode guide inside. I think there's some Adam West, a memoir book that kind of has some of his photographs and some of his experiences playing Batman. Lots of special features in the set that are definitely worth checking out. It's just a wonderful series. I'm glad to see that I still see it in syndication, and it looks like they have got the Blu-rays now, because I notice when I flick around the TV and I see Batman on, it's very colorful again. And thank you to ever who found the loophole, because I hear it was a loophole that actually got it out on DVD, and I probably kissed them right on the lips for that, or other stuff. I don't know if Mike would be okay with that, but I don't care who it was, but this has been in so many courtrooms trying to get this on Blu-ray, and from what I hear, it was a little loophole and somebody following through, and I'm just thankful that it finally came out. Not only for the fans, but I'm hoping that being a nostalgia buff, it's great. But I hope that new generations can pick up on it too. Another reason why being a Batman 66 fan is such a big thing right now is that they've released a comic series based on it that's written in the style of it. And you can see some of the characters that were created originally for just the TV series, and now they are in their own comics and stuff, and that's amazing. And also, in 2012, the marketing was able to happen. For the longest time, you couldn't buy anything with Adam West or Burt Ward or any of the actors because there was licensing issues. But now you can actually buy toys and memorabilia that has them. And so, it's a great time to be a Batman 66 fan. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a snob. I love, you know, the Tim Burton, Joel Schumacher movies, you know. I love the Dark Knight series that, you know, Chris Nolan brought out. I love Batman in every form, but I think you've got to give some respect to Batman 66. I know a lot of people put it down in so many ways, but I think it offered so much, and I think rewatching them, it's just amazing what they got away with, and just the humor is just so ridiculously elegant. I see ridiculously elegant because it's innocent, but there's like some winks, and I love that they're in on the joke, because when I first originally watched this, I wasn't even in on the joke because I was just too young. So I'm glad that this is a show I can watch and it still lives up, and it's not one of those shows that are like, oh, I must have liked it more when I was a kid. Anyhow, Batman 66, check it out if you get the chance, or, you know, it's probably syndicated somewhere if you don't want to pay the big bucks. But, yeah, that's all I have to say on the matter. I'll be back in a bit to tell you what you can do to brighten up your MP3 playlist a little bit. That's coming up next. From my last segment on my first podcast, I decided to kind of do a self-help thing. No, I'm not going to try to better your life. I'm not really in the point of my life. But the song you just heard there coming out of the little break we had was David Rose and, of course, The Stripper, a classic burlesque song from 1958, I believe that was recorded in. And that is like one of my all-time favorite songs. It's just a great song from the burlesque era. I always loved that that was also made by the same guy who made the Bonanza and the Little House on the Prairie theme. I love that a guy can like write great burlesque music, but also do some wholesome fare like the... Okay, I'm not going to hum the Little House on the Prairie theme for you because I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not in the mood. Anyhow, this segment is kind of to help you out in life by sprucing up your MP3 experience, your iPod experience. Music is very important to me. I absolutely adore it. I need to have it with me everywhere. I need to be ready to have it with me. Because I like to bring it out. I usually always have a little speaker with me, and I usually always have my headphones with me, because at any time I may need to get out of my head, and music always does that for me. When people ask me what kind of music I like, I actually like pop music from all decades, from big band to the 50s, you know, the 60s, 70s, all of them. Like, even music today, I still love hearing a lot of great stuff from today. I just like that mix. So when I, you know, have my shuffle on, I hear a little bit of everything. I might hear a Motown song, then it might go into a heavy metal song, then it might go into like a pseudo psychedelic song from the 60s to like some new contemporary track. And from what I hear from people, what I love is music is pretty, it doesn't matter what style of music you like, it seems to be something that people really relate to, as in it. Everybody seems to have a love for music. I have met a couple people that music isn't that important for them. In fact, I'm sure there's quite a bit of people. I don't necessarily want to know them on a personal level, because I love that people get into their music. I like to be a little open. I don't like when people put down other people's music, because I think, you know, I might not be into like acid metal, you know, hate type angry music. But that music might be soothing, or mean something to somebody that maybe, say, Olivia Newton-John means to me. And most of you know Olivia Newton-John means a lot to me. So I try not to, you know, of course I have my opinions, but I try not to judge people when they say this is my style of music, because of the fact that, you know, that music means something to them and mine means something to me. And I think it's just shitty when you hear people just putting down other people's music. Yes, you can have an opinion, but come on, be cool about it. If it's just not your cup of tea, that's fine. Just don't say, God, how can you like that? That sucks. That's my irritating little voice, you know, when I talk about the status quo that have to put down everything. That sucks. That's my voice I'll try to use. Not that I'm going to do voices on here. But anyhow, I came up with a couple of things that can help you spruce up your mix. Because I always hear people saying, oh, I'd love to hear some new music, or some, you know, interest me in some old music, just some music that I might not know of. Well, everybody has an opinion on what great music is, and that's not what this is about. I just have little rules that you can add to your iPod or MP3, whatever you're using. I haven't upgraded to an iPod yet. I have a cheap little MP3. I've used these Kobe's for a long time. And they're cheap, and they get the job done, and I'm very happy with them. I have not upgraded. I know I'd probably love having, like, an iPod or you know, something on my, like, if I owned a phone. But anyhow, these tricks can help you. I think they're little things that can help spice up your music experience. And I'm going to start with the first thing we heard. We just heard it, the Rose. No, we didn't. It was David Rose with The Stripper. And I think everybody should put it in. It's only, it's less than 3 minutes long. And it's a great bump and grind from the burlesque days, you know. You heard it, and hear a little bit more of it playing in the background right now. And basically, I think the reason I'd add this is because sometimes you're having a bad day and music is there to help you, and then all of a sudden The Stripper comes on. And I don't know where you're listening to this. You could be at work, you could be taking a walk somewhere, maybe doing some exercise. And I tell you that this song can crack you up, because you will look at something and just hear this, you know, you've heard it a couple times already. And, you know, it's funny. You suddenly see, like, maybe you see an old lady walking and this music's playing. You see, like, some young, you know, tough hood, tough guy, and this music starts playing, and all you hear is this music. And I tell you, it will guarantee you put a smile on your face. I think everybody should have the stripper or some kind of burlesque song, but the stripper's the classic. That's the one. And just a little tidbit, just, you know, so download that, find it somewhere. Don't play it illegally like we are doing here today. And, you know, but you can download it. I'm sure the stripper's on, you know, Pure Tracks, iTunes, wherever you get your music. But anyhow, perfect song to add. It's also fun because I remember one time I came to the apartment and the elevator was down, which happens once in a while. And it doesn't put me in a good mood. And I remember I had bags and I had to go up to the 9th floor. And I basically start trudging up the stairs. I have my music, trying to, you know, breathe, trying to not be pissed off that I have to get, you know, do exercise and walk up the stairs. Yeah, I can be that lazy. And then all of a sudden, the stripper will come on, and I swear, a big smile just came over my face. And you start walking differently, too. You start kind of, you know, but when you're, you know, going up staircase with some groceries, so why wouldn't you want a song that would just change your mood instantly when you see it? I guarantee you, you'll have a lot of fun with it. I also, another thing you can add is live performance songs. You know, I don't, there's tons of live albums. I think pretty much every artist from, you know, Bruce Springsteen to Metallica has probably had a live album. I know Kiss has had, like, many, you know. So whatever your live album of choice is, I think it's a good thing to put in your mixes. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that some live performances are just phenomenal and, you know, it just brings you to your knees when you hear a great performance. But the reason I'm telling you to add it in is because at the end of the song, there is applause. And I have been at work sometimes listening to my Walkman, and then all of a sudden applause comes off. And, you know, you're doing some job that you're like, ugh, I can't believe I'm doing this. And instant gratification because you've put a live song in your mix. And it sounds stupid, but you'd be surprised the endorphins you get when you just get like this long, you know, bit of applause, you know. You know, make sure you get one with, you know, and it sounds ridiculous, but guarantee it will put a smile on your face. Theme songs are fun, too. Like TV show themes, movie themes. Like, who doesn't want to be exercising on the treadmill and then John Williams swooping Superman theme come on? Like, to me, it would just be phenomenal to hear that iconic music. Like, you know, not that I do an excessive amount of exercising, but imagine, you know, you're working out at the gym and then all of a sudden, you know, this big spiritual thing, you're about ready to give up and then Superman comes on or Star Wars or something big, you know, and that definitely adds you a little boost to the day. Or maybe around Halloween, I like to put in like Halloween songs like Thriller and Monster Mash and stuff like that. But I started actually adding like movie music that kind of scares me too, like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I can't even explain what that does to me, and I've even thought about taking it out of my rotation. This gets your blood pumping, but probably for all the wrong reasons. Texas Chainsaw Massacre just sounds like somebody taking their toolkit and throwing it down the stairs, and then every once in a while they have this really high-pitched, I can't even explain it. You've got to go check it out for yourself to see. But it creeps me out when it comes on. Also, the Halloween theme always does it for me, too. And the reason I like putting these on is I have been walking home on a dark night and just got off the bus, and I'm seeing my building, and I'm going, and all of a sudden, you'll hear a horror theme, you know? And then suddenly, you're getting paranoid and stuff. And it sounds weird to get yourself paranoid on your MP3 or your iPod, but the truth of the matter is it steppens you up a bit. You start heading into a better pace, you know, maybe a little extra exercise that you didn't see. If not, your heart will definitely start pounding, and that'll push your blood a little faster. So, you know, take chances. How about the Benny Hill theme? You know, everybody loves watching, like, footage on YouTube where somebody's, you know, put, you know, cats chasing each other around in the yard and putting the Benny Hill theme. that certainly would liven things up a little bit. I also recommend guilty pleasure songs. Come on, when we were growing up, we used to listen to old novelty songs. I think everybody grew up with Weird Al Yankovic or just, you know, some song that gives you a goofy smile when you hear it. I throw on a little bit of everything, as I said. I got everything from rock, pop, country, R&B. And every once in a while, I'll throw in some song that I like, but I don't necessarily need to hear every day of my life. Like Convoy. You know, if look it up. If you look it up. It was made around the CB craze of the late 70s. And it's fun to just, you know, you got some great rock on or something, and then all of a sudden this CB comes on, you know, hey, trucker, trucker, 901. We got a great big convoy rocking through the night. It's such an absurd song, or just any kind of crazy song that you don't expect, you know. You know, Monty Python, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. That'd be an awesome song to just suddenly hear, or Sit on My Face, or, you know, one of the great tunes, you know, like check your novelty songs, or just a rare oldie that they just don't play on mainstream radio anymore, you know. Of course, you might want to remember that song's on, though, if you are putting a speaker in, like if some friends are around and saying, hey, I got some music, and you put it on, and then suddenly Disco Duck starts playing. Yeah, that takes a lot of explaining, and you might not want that. But you know what? It's a lot of fun when you're on your own, and suddenly, you know, you hear the opening twangs of, you know, Disco Duck. And this isn't for everyone, this last one. A nice dirty song is always good too. Whether it's just, you know, a suggestive song like I Touch Myself, or, you know, something a little more filthier, like, I don't know, I have a lot of dirty songs, but, you know, like one of Prince's, like Scarlet Pussy, or just, you know, just some, you know, something with really dirty lyrics in it. Again, it's fun to be sitting on a bus and seeing all these miserable people. You know, maybe they had a hard day or something. And then all of a sudden, this just sexy, you know, suck my chocolate salty balls comes on. And you can't help but smile because, you know, it doesn't match the scenery you're looking at. And sometimes that's fun. Again, if you're putting it on a speaker for all to hear, and you have kids in the area, you might want to remember that you, you know, put some, you know, like, The Bad Touch, or, you know, Strokin' by Clarence Carter. So, yeah, the rodeo song, not good for, like, young children around. But you know what? For your own personable, I hope these are little tips that to make your listening to the MP3 and shuffle more enjoyable. I certainly love to put them in mine, and it always puts an unexpected surprise and usually a smile on my face. There can be awkward moments too. You know, you're talking to somebody that you find very attractive, and you shouldn't be listening to your Walkman anyhow, but if you have one in your ear or something, and some really racy, you know, I Want Your Sex by George Michael comes on, you know. Yeah, it can change the mood real fast. But I hope these little tips helped you, and I hope you look for those songs, because it'd be fun just searching them out on iTunes or whatever service you use. Anyhow, this is the end of my first podcast. I think it went well. I'm a kind of guy that usually goes by what I hear. Not saying I wouldn't love feedback. In fact, you know, if you did, were brave enough to listen to the whole thing, please tell me what you thought. I don't mind honesty. I am emotional, so I might cry a little bit if you are really harsh. I won't listen to haters in any way. But, you know, constructive criticism, yeah, I might tear up a bit, but I will listen to it. I'm also the kind of artist that, if I don't agree with it, I'll just nod politely and thank you, but I tend to do things my own way anyhow. But sometimes creative criticism does make me think and make me think, yeah, maybe I'll try to do that better. I apologize if any of the production value was bad. We're just testing this stuff out, so we might try to make some changes. It should come out pretty good. Corda knows her stuff. Again, we didn't get the rights to any of the music we used, so if we get any trouble on that, suddenly, you know, where the David Rose theme is, there might be some generic jazz, you know, smooth jazz or something. So listen to it when it's fresh, and you might get to still hear the tracks that I actually picked for it. As I said, in the future, I'm hoping to get some guests in here. I've already talked to some people, and they seem to want to come in, but now that I've aired my first show, they might listen to it and might be busy that day. But whatever the case is, I'm going to keep doing this, and I appreciate, you don't know how much I appreciate if you took the time to listen to the whole thing. To be honest with you, even if you skipped two bits, you know, just enough so you can like say, oh yeah, I listened to your podcast, that would just be exciting too. Even if you listen to 1 minute of this, I'd just be happy, because I think in this world, time is just so precious. And we take it for granted. It's, you know, the one thing that we probably take for granted even more than people, weather, anything like that. But time is so precious. And just the fact that you spent some time with me today blows my mind. And I hope you enjoyed it and spend more time with me. And I'd like to hear from you. So, you know, leave some comments, send me some emails if you know me personally. Again, I won't listen to any hatred, just because I don't need that in my life. But, you know me, I love to feel the love, so hope I get to hear from you. And if not, that's fine, because for that one listener that I got, not counting Corda, of course, I hope it was a great experience for you. I'll look for some more topics, more pop culture to deal with. Just whatever I feel like, and I'll see you next week or on the next broadcast, and you have a great night, morning, afternoon, whenever you listen to this. Make it a great day, whatever it is.